today on Compassion Radio.
As you've seen more countries come into the fold to join with you in a week, what has surprised you about what God is doing and how he's doing it in these other countries that you previously had no connection with?
When you look to the work of the Holy Spirit, you know, it's full of surprise.
Amen to that.
Welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Each day on the program, Bram takes you with him to the farthest corners of the globe, where he spends time with the people who've been called to share the love of Jesus Christ in the mission field. Now today, we are in Egypt. Considered a cradle of civilization, ancient Egypt saw some of the earliest developments of writing, agriculture, urbanization, organized religion, and central government. Iconic monuments such as the Giza Necropolis and its Great Sphinx, as well as the ruins of Memphis, Thebes, Karnak, and the Valley of the Kings, are spread across the land. Now, Egypt was an early and important center of Christianity, but was largely Islamized in the 7th century and remains a predominantly Muslim country, albeit with a significant Christian minority. Recently, Bram had the rare opportunity to sit down for a fascinating conversation with Maher Fouad, a man God called more than 30 years ago to unite Arab evangelicals throughout the region. Mr. Fouad is the founder of the Arab World Evangelical Ministers Association, an organization that does many things, including the equipping and training of churches and missionaries. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to join us for part one of this conversation. Here's Bram.
I'm sitting in the office of Maher Fouad, the general director here at AWEMA. AWEMA is the Arab World Evangelical Ministers Association. I had the privilege just last summer of sitting down with many of their pastors and missionaries across the entire Arab world, including North Africa. Now, because we're based here in Cairo, you are pretty much the hub, the link between the Levant and the African nations that are Arab-speaking. Maher, thank you so much for allowing us in to visit you this day.
Thank you.
Now, you have led an incredible organization from its infancy. Have you been with the organization since the beginning in 1978?
Yes. In fact, I'm the founder of AWEMA. And we began in 1985, with a vision of joining hands with the Arab evangelicals all over the Arab countries, which is in the Middle East and North Africa and Africa.
When you first started meeting with evangelicals that were not just of one denomination, how many people did you network in the beginning?
Well, in fact, when we began in 1985, we were just three countries together. Today, we are talking about 15 countries together. Some other Arab countries we don't know how to reach. But we praise God that we succeeded to reach all of the five countries in North Africa, all of the seven countries and the Gulf area. But of course, we are missing Libya now. We are missing some of the Gulf countries. We don't know how to reach them. It's very closed countries because I'm talking about 22 countries. 11 of them have no Christian presence or national
churches. This organized that we know of, it would have pastors or people that could come join you and plan and dream and pray for those things. There's got to be Christians hiding there somewhere, so finding
yes.
is a big challenge.
Oh, yeah.
I know when we sat down and talked about the operational security of the missionaries that are going into these countries,
yes.
we talked about the booming churches happening in certain northern African countries, such as Algeria and Morocco, places that wouldn't even register on the West's radar.
Yeah.
But there are big things happening.
Right.
So we expected there to be great things beyond the time we talked last year. What's happened in the last 7 or 8 months since we met together in Cyprus?
Well, in fact, we are in a time of flourishing, you know, the church.
Amen.
The church is flourishing in many countries, like, you know, we were trying hard to reach some countries in the African Horn. Somalia and Djibouti, they are pure Muslim countries,
yes.
and they are part of the Arab countries. You know, Arab
and Djibouti money. Is a good link point between the Horn of Arabia across the Horn of Africa,
right.
but it's also a very, very close country.
Very close. And Somalia, the same. But we praise God that God, you know, opened some doors in both countries, and now we succeeded to plant churches.
Amen.
And schools for the kids, and it's a big blessing. And in fact, the blessing that the nationals are doing that, so we don't need to send people from outside these two countries, because we got. Helped us to equip some of the national Christians there.
And when you think about the kingdom of God, that is the ultimate goal, is to see every language and tongue and people group take responsibility for worshiping God in the way that God has enabled them to do so.
Right, right. Yeah. In fact, our vision is to equip the national Christians all over. Because, you know, the old idea of missions is to send people from country to country. But we believe that sending indigenous people, I mean people from the same country, equipping them and sending them to some unreached areas within their countries will be more effective.
Now, some of these people, you try to get out of country for a while to give them the training and the respite they need to get strong again.
Yeah.
It's very demanding on the front lines.
Yeah. Of course, sometimes, you know, we do that. But if we want ongoing work, and if we are looking for a kind of safe mission work, why shall we send foreigners?
Right.
I mean, Egyptians to Algeria. They are foreigners.
Yeah.
Why we don't send Algerians to the Algerians?
Yeah.
And like in Algeria, you know, 90% of the believers are in the north.
Right.
And less than, you know, 10% are in the south. And now we can send Algerians from the north to the south.
Amen.
To plant new churches. So this is what we do in our UMA anyway.
Now, I would imagine that even though it looks very similar to me, when I think about North Africa and the culture and the people groups that are here, they look fairly similar to me as a Westerner.
Yeah.
But I imagine when you get to someplace like Algeria, an Egyptian stands out as much as an American would. So
yes.
It's more difficult to travel those great distances. We're talking thousands of miles from here in Cairo.
Correct.
And Americans, of course, don't understand geography as well, so we don't realize how far we're talking about reaching. It's as far as going from, say, Chicago to Los Angeles, just to get to those regions.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you are at the fulcrum. You are the place where all the Christian roads seem to converge since biblical times.
Mm-hmm.
So you are very strategic. But these people also need a lot of encouragement.
Yes.
Now, I was noticing that there's some difficulty in establishing what we would call a common kingdom culture when it comes to worship, because every nation has its own history, its own style.
Right.
But they seem to be depending upon, even in the WIMA conference, depending upon Western style worship.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the songs we would sing would be familiar from Westerners who have brought them with mission movements over the past 50 years or so. I wonder how it's growing now. How is the church, even here in Egypt, becoming its own and developing worship styles and songs that reflect their heart of worship for God?
Yeah. In fact, you have seen in our international conference in Cyprus wasn't the reality of the worship, because when you have a gathering of people coming from 20 countries, the only way is to find something common for everybody, which is, you know, the Western music and so. But when we travel, of course, in Egypt, we have our very Egyptian songs and melodies and music. If you go to Tunisia or Algeria, they have their own songs, they have their own musicians, their own music. So even, you know, sometimes we don't understand what they say because it is in their accent.
The dialects could be very distinct from each other, even if they speak Arabic.
If we speak classical Arabic, you know, we understand each other. But when we come to the dialect, I mean the very national. Direct now, sometimes, of course, you can understand the rest, but not easily sometimes.
As much as it would be for Americans learning British English or the accent of the Mediterranean.
From California too, yeah.
And my accent, of course, sounds probably very different than the English you would normally hear coming from Europe.
Right.
But you were very gracious to speak in my language the entire time.
I hope so. I hope I can do that.
And God has been challenging me this time to start learning some Arabic. So I will be investing myself over the years to come and becoming more familiar with the way the language works, mm-hmm. so I can understand the heart better of the kind of work that God's doing in these countries. Because it's not a Western thing. This is a kingdom thing.
Right.
And I'm curious from you, as you have grown in your understanding of God's expression through his many churches, as you've seen more countries come into the fold to join with you in Awima, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. what has surprised you about what God is doing and how he's doing it in these other countries that you previously had no connection with?
Well, a lot of surprises, you know, because when you look to the work of the Holy Spirit, you know, it's full of surprises.
Amen to that.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again just by opening up your favorite browser app on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please be sure to sign up for our email updates. Again, just go to CompassionRadio.com. Compassion Radio is here not just to teach the truth, but to provide you with opportunities to do the truth. That's why we've built and supported an orphanage in Hong Kong, provided beds for homeless children in India, counseled street kids in Hollywood, ministered to widows, carried Bibles into China and Vietnam, helped establish churches and provide Bibles in Indonesia, North Korea, and Southeast Asia, provided sight for the blind in Africa, aided refugees from Kosovo, and given tens of thousands of dollars to feed the hungry. Our goal is to teach the word clearly and accurately, always applying that word to building the kingdom. And we invite you to join our family as we learn together, witness together, and serve together. Please go to CompassionRadio.com today to find out more about this ministry. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com. We are always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
I'm curious from you, as you have grown in your understanding of God's expression through his many churches, as you've seen more countries come into the fold to join with you in Awima, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. what has surprised you about what God is doing and how he's doing it in these other countries that you previously had no connection with?
Well, a lot of surprises, you know, because when you look to the work of the Holy Spirit, you know, it's full of surprises.
Amen to that.
So you don't expect, you know, people come from far away to be Christians. Mm. Sometimes they surprise you with a lot of testimonies, dreams and wonders. Mm. They surprise you with very small churches, and they grow rapidly, you know. And like in Algeria, you know, 1982, 83, mm-hmm. they were about four leaders, four Christians.
Yes.
Today we are talking about more than 120,000.
Yes.
And it's still growing. You surprise, you know, like, you know, and with the people we work now in Algeria or in our church, mm-hmm. God gave them the vision to go and reach the unreached area there and to reach Mauritania. Mm. So now these churches began to send their own missionaries to different countries.
All the way across the Sahara to get to them.
Oh, yeah. And of course, you know, all of them are from the same background. And almost, you know, in North Africa, the same culture. Mm-hmm. So they do great. And nobody is pushing them to do that. Yeah. But the Holy Spirit is just convincing them to go and begin work here and there. Like, you know, our work in Somalia and Djibouti, we couldn't find anybody to go to these areas. It's very dangerous and very difficult. And suddenly you find a whole family is ready to go through 2 years theological training and just leave everything and go and live and plant churches and plant schools and they cover a good part of their expenses from their own pockets, and they are very poor people. So it is a lot of surprises, you know, coming from the unreached, you know, the difficult areas mostly.
And they find a new wealth, a new kingdom economy. God supplies them what they need to go do extraordinary things.
Yes.
Now, how do you, as an established church culture here in Egypt, with roots that go into evangelical denominations that go back maybe 200 years,
yeah,
and then, of course, within the Coptic tradition all the way back to the beginning of the apostle movement.
Right.
The apostolic age had very much Cairo in its orbit,
mm-hmm,
and it became an anchor all the years after the Holy Land fell to all the different imperial powers over thousands of years.
Yeah.
There was always Egypt.
Yes.
And so you all sense the gravity of your position within the history of Christianity, and you have the church across on the other side in Baghdad that kind of anchored across the deserts. And that one, as we know, has been decimated by the wars in this past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you remain. Is there a sense of loss for you as a Christian leader that so many other of the ancient traditions and the ancient histories of Christianity are dying out so fast?
Yes. Yeah, I believe... Yeah, this is right. In fact, you know, the Christianity in this area, especially when you talk about the old places like Iraq and Syria, Jordan, Christianity or Christians are suffering.
Yes,
a lot. And the lack of unity sometimes, you know, between the traditional churches and the new churches, like evangelicals, it makes them very weak among the majority of the other religions.
And there's something about a unity that comes from suffering. So suddenly there are doors open to real fellowship that were not open for thousands of years.
Right, right. I believe when we began to recognize that we need each other, and we need to come together, and a good part of them, they succeeded, you know, just to bridge the barriers and join hands with the others. We began to experience God's blessing in many things, and a lot of doors were closed and became just open widely, and we can enter it, you know, together easily, like people coming from different backgrounds to Jesus, and we didn't experience this number of converts in our history, you know, like what we experienced, we experienced in the last 20 years.
And you're speaking about we as being the greater Christian community.
I'm talking about the evangelical, but
yes, okay.
We must part of the movement, but yes. Praise God that we have another parts coming from churches or from another movements, and now we began to learn, you know, the lessons that the challenge is too big that any organization or any church or any denomination can accomplish.
Well, I can imagine that any Christian church who hears the testimonies coming in of suffering around them has two different responses. Either draw back in fear and try to protect what you have and try to keep the persecution away from you,
mm-hmm,
or you throw your arms wide open and risk yourself, even to your own governments, to say, we stand with those who are our family, we will not deny them. It's a dangerous business to say, I stand with those who are persecuted.
Yeah.
You have an understanding of history, but you also have a position of proximity to where the suffering is and the nations that are around you.
Mm-hmm.
And now, in some ways, we're aware that there has been persecution happening within Egypt in new ways.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe for the Americans who are hearing this program what the Egyptians themselves are facing in persecution and where it's coming from?
Well, this is a very sensitive question.
Yes.
So I don't know how much I can tell you, but...
I understand that. I'm not trying to push anything that might be dangerous for people.
Sometimes, you know, we don't use the word persecution, but we use oppositions,
okay,
or pressures coming.
Before I go into that, then, describe for me how you would define the difference between an opposition or a difficulty and persecution. Where's the line for you?
Well, it's different terms. It was the same thing, you know. And it depends, you know, how do you see it. Mm. If you see it persecution, the only way sometimes is to escape. Mm. If you find it challenging and some pressures, now, well, if it is pressures or oppositions, now this is a good time just to stand firm and face it. So persecution is a very hard word, and sometimes it just pushes you to leave everything and leave. And people say, because we are persecuted, you know, so we need asylum here or whatever. But we say, well, this is just the natural part of the Christian life.
Now, there's an important point right there.
Yeah.
And we've been iterating this on our program for the past 20 or 30 years because of the experiences we've had sitting down with people who are doing the work, that this is the normal Christian life, to quote some famous authors.
Yeah, it is. Well, read the Bible, you know. Yeah. So and every page of the Bible, the church in its beginning was just dealing with that as oppositions, you know, and Jesus mentioned that.
Yes.
So we are not surprised. We are, so why? Because, you know, when we say persecution, we put ourselves as a victim. And we are not.
See, that's a very
but good. We are part of these countries, and we are the originals, you know. These are our countries. Usually, everywhere in the world, you know, sometimes this is the life of the minorities, because we are minority, you know, in a way.
One of the largest in all of Africa.
And we deal with that, you know, and we know that this is our country, so we have to remain in it, and our roots are in it, and we still have message, and we still have callings from God.
Yes.
To remain and to face that, and when we think like that, I mean, in a positive way.
Yes.
Believe me, we can overcome a lot of pressures easily.
I think it's important for the American audience to understand this, because the word persecution is being tossed around as if it's a political football in America.
Yeah.
Even for us, we feel like we're persecuted because we have, as you say, oppositions or difficulties now with our own government. Of course, we know it's orders of magnitude difference for other countries, because we don't have, in these nations, a history and a legal history of freedoms of religion or conscience. And in countries where you do work, there is no lack of freedom of conscience, but there is often consequence for acting on the conscience that God is building in you. And so the cost of being a disciple of Christ has to be calculated in planning for what you will do with your life and what the Holy Spirit is asking of you. So when you talk about building the tower, for you this is building with living stones. We've calculated how much it will cost us to be a presence that's open and public in this country, in this culture, and we're willing to pay that price. So you make that decision early, and then God shows you how much it will cost, but he also shows you how much his grace will afford you in the process.
Yes.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up your favorite browser app on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please be sure to sign up for our email updates. You'll also find our P.O. Box info along with all our social media links. And if you have a moment, please take the partner survey. This would really help us to better serve you. Again, go to CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the wonderful reports of the exciting things happening in the mission field all over the world. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? We are 100% listener supported, so your gifts make it possible for us to continue. Today when you give, we'll send you a copy of the album from gospel vocal trio Sela called Unbreakable as our way of saying thanks. You can give just by going to CompassionRadio.com. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com. And thanks so much. Here's Bram with a closing word.
Hi, friends.
I'm in Beirut this week, following some of the most inspiring people you'll ever meet, as they do incredible work. The gospel is going out with power here and redeeming people in amazing ways. In turn, they've been introducing me to the beautiful people that God has placed in front of them. Make sure to spend a few minutes at the Compassion Radio Facebook page to see some pictures and videos of these wonderful folks. I want to bring you these stories and interviews so that your faith will expand and burst forth with joy and powerful authority. That is our calling. Will you help us keep doing this very thing? Will you help us stay on the air and in the field, bringing you good news stories each and every day? We can't do it without your prayer and support, friends, and right now we need both. God has always inspired our Compassion Radio family to give in exactly the measure needed, and I'm counting on the fact that this is still just as true today. When you give, I know that God will be pleased, and the world will hear how much you love them. So let us hear from you today.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.